some persons are looking at, watching at my body language to get a clue where the question will come from. I hope I didn't give that up. So, when the voice came down from heaven at the baptism of Jesus, what did the voice say? The voice that came down from heaven. Yes, Jim. You are my son in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That is what God says to us when we were baptized. That is what he said, you are my beloved son, in you, with you, I am well pleased. That is what he says about you, Mike. That is what he says about you, Paul. That is what God said about me on the day of my beloved son, in you, I am well pleased. And this is the key to the Christian life. Because Christianity is first and foremost about what we have become in Christ before it's about what we do and how we act. Amen. Amen. I want to take that again. Christianity, first and foremost, is about whom we have become in Christ before it is about what we do and how we act. And this is what, amen. This is what we don't get. This is what you and I have undermined for a long time. And it affects our relationship with God. It affects the way we respond to the invitation of Christ. Because we have invested so much about what we want to do for God, how we act, and we have not pondered so much about what we have become in Christ. And that is very important. So we have a spiritual crisis of identity because we have pondered too little about the gift, the mystery of our own baptism. You see, friends, baptism is the key. It tells us about our identity and our destiny. In baptism, the believer is adopted into the family of God. Through baptism, you and I receive a destiny that is far greater than that of angels and all the host of heaven. You see, many years ago, I was reading the scripture, and that should be from the Psalms. The Psalms said, you are God's. Don't you know that you are God's? And I said, but I'm a human being. How can I be God that you are far greater than the angels? It is the mystery of baptism that reveals that truth to us. That through our baptism, God raises us to a level that is far greater than that of angels and all the host of heaven. And this was the reason why Satan was angry. Because angels, they were created. They are created beings. Human beings created. But God says, listen, there is a plan. That in time, human beings will be raised to a dignity that will surpass every other creatures in heaven. Because I will adopt them to become my sons and daughters. And Lucifer was angry. You know, growing up, even today, we consider angels to be superior beings. For the time being, they are superior beings. But at the end, angels, because of our baptism, because we have been configured into the life of the Son, and we become sons and daughters in the Son. And through Christ, we become adopted sons and daughters. Listen to what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For the spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves or cause you to be afraid. Instead, the spirit makes you God's children. And by the spirit's power, We cry out to God, Father, my Father. Other translation says, Abba, Father. And so we have the privilege to call God our Father because of our baptism. And that is why we don't know who we are. And because we don't know who we are, the devil gives us a wrong impression about who we are. So the next time the devil reminds you that you are a sinner, tell him that at least you have a destiny that surpasses his. In fact, you are God's beloved sons and daughters. This is not a metaphor. This is an ontological and metaphysical reality that will manifest at the end of time. And it will be very clear to you and I. That's the destiny that God has called us to. The second point I want to share with you this morning is about our relationship with God. In baptism, God becomes our Father. One of the greatest propaganda of the devil against the Father is that he paints him to be a very absent-minded despot who cares less for his children. And we have examples from some of our fathers who have not been so nice and kind. And we have the wrong impression about fatherhood. But in baptism, God reminds us of the truth about who he is and how he wants to relate with us. And it's like, he is our Father. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. God has been Father from all eternity, ever before he became a creator. And that again don't really come up for us. Because we think about him as creator and mighty and powerful. But you see, from all eternity he has been a Father ever before he became a creator. And that is why in the creed we begin by saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and we don't say, I believe in God, creator of heaven and earth. Because the church wants us to ponder on that mystery. He has been a father from all eternity, because his only begotten son was begotten from all eternity. And you see, you and I have been begotten through baptism in time for all eternity. He has been a father. And when we think about him, we don't have good impression about the Father. I've had time your reaction towards the Father. You see, some of us are so in love with Jesus, but we have resentment towards the Father. Does that sound familiar? We are so in love when it comes to Jesus. Oh, we love him, but the Father, we have resentment towards the Father. But you see, the mission of Jesus Christ is to vindicate the Father. The Father is not that despot or that absent God that the devil wants us to believe. He's a loving Father. And so Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 6, he said, this is my mission. This is Father. I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. The mission of Jesus is to make known the love of the Father so that every believer will come to love the Father. So if we don't love the Father enough, our relationship with God, our Christian life, will not bear the kind of fruit that God desires. We have to love the Father. And this is not meant, I'm going to make an analogy, but I don't intend to put down any group or any religion, but to give you a very beautiful perspective about what it means to have God as a father in your life. My elder brother in 1998, thereabout, and converted to Islam, to Muslim. He became a Muslim. And the whole family, we were so troubled, you know. And he took the name Zachary. the Old Testament named Zachariah. And I also had a very good Muslim friend, my best friend, Awalu. And you see, but what I noticed with my friends and my brother's friends is that understanding of God is not just as a father, but as a creator. God, in their perspective, in their understanding how they practice the Muslim faith, they consider God to be a creator, a master, who owns everything. Even human beings are considered to be his properties. And the typical, the average Muslim is supposed to be nothing but a servant of Allah. That was how they related to Allah, as a servant, a slave, as a property. And that concept of sonship, that concept that we are daughters, real daughters of God and sons of God, didn't come up all the years that I lived with them. And even in Hinduism and Buddhism, the human person, the individual, is considered nothing but a prisoner, because the soul is imprisoned in the body. And the soul continues what they call transmigration from one, and that process of purification. But for Christianity, we have this fascinating perspective about the destiny of man. We are sons and daughters of God, and God is our Father. A merciful Father, a good Father, a friendly Father that we don't relate enough with. And Jesus wants us this morning to grow a deep relationship with the Father. It's not about him. He came to vindicate the Father, because the greatest propaganda of Satan is to blackmail the Father. And in blackmailing the Father, we have resentment towards him and we don't respond with open hearts. But since I've discovered how loving the Father is, I appreciate how he has been a father to me. And I want Gabriel to help us to tell God we are happy the way he's been a father to us. We like the way he has been a father to us. We thank him. And we want to grow in that relationship. Through baptism, he has made me his own son, co-heir with Christ in the life of grace. Lord, I love the way you father me. This is the way you father me. I love the way you father me. This is the way you father me. I love the way you father me. This is the way you father me. I love the way you father me. This is the way you father me. I love the way you father me. You changed my life. You gave me grace. You make me to be like you. You change my life. You gave me grace. You make me to be like you. This is the way you father me. I love the way you father me. This is the way you father me. I love the way you father me. Oh, this is the way you father me. I love the way you father me. This is the way you father me. I love the way you father me.